Hello, hope everybody's doing well. Meet us in Colossians chapter 1. Actually, we're going to look at, we're going to like jump around a little bit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 is really where we're going to, where we're really going to be focused. All right, so Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We'll probably read through verse 15, even though we won't cover all that, just for purposes of context. And then we're also going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you, oh God, for you being God. We thank you, Lord God, that it is you who are God, for you are the only one who's qualified to be God, Lord God, in our lives, over our lives, for you are holy, God, you are righteous, you are just, you are omnipotent, you are omniscient, you are omnipresent. Father God, you are eternal and everlasting, God, you are ever faithful. Father God, you are never failing. And we thank you, Lord God, we thank you for this privilege of salvation. Lord God, even more so, this privilege of fellowship with you, oh God. Heavenly Father, just to know that a holy God, Lord God, desires us. Lord God, you desire us, Heavenly Father, and we thank you and we praise you. God, we thank you for just the blessings of this day. Lord God, we thank you for being amongst the land of the living. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for just the knowledge of your love for us, oh God, to know that you loved us perfectly, Heavenly Father, to know that you, Lord God, regardless of who we are, Lord God, what we've thought, done, been, Lord God, your love has never changed throughout eternity, Lord God, from eternity past through eternity future, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that there's not one thing that would ever change your mind about us and how much you love us, oh God. So help us right now, Lord God, by faith, Lord God, by the unction of your Holy Spirit, oh God, to know beyond what we see, hear, think, beyond how we feel, oh God, Heavenly Father, to know how much you love us, oh God, even as Paul declared in Ephesians 3, oh God, when he said, that like his prayer was that we'd be rooted and grounded even in your love to be able to comprehend with all the saints, Lord God, the breadth and the depth, the length and the height, Lord God, the grand dimension, the endless dimensions of your love, and that we would know that love, oh God, in our hearts by faith, oh God, to know that love which passes our own ability to know, which passes knowledge, Heavenly Father, that we might be filled, Lord God, with all the fullness there is, oh God. So just have your way right now in this Bible study. Lord God, speak to our hearts right now. Speak to my heart, oh God. Reveal yourself, oh God, even in the midst of what's being dealt with on this evening, oh God, that it would become so personal, oh God, that you would speak to us deliberately and intentionally, oh God, those things that you will, even for our lives, and even more important, Lord God, the very character of who you are, Heavenly Father, that we might freely submit and surrender to it, that you might replace us, oh God, and Lord God, that you might be glorified even in us. So have your way right now. We come in this time unto you, Lord God, that you be glorified in it. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Colossians 1, starting at verse 9. Excuse me. Paul writes, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." That's really right there, the focus of what we wanted, what we're the Lord, you know, is just burdening our heart about. We'll continue to read in verse 11. He says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, whom hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And he says, who is, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then we'll stop there. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul also writes, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Amen. And so really, I don't really even have it's not really a subject for a Bible study. And not sure if we'll even go beyond this week dealing with this particular theme, because it's more thematic than anything else. But what we do want to just kind of spend some time talking about is just growing, like the imperative for believers and our continual growth in the knowledge of who God is through Christ Jesus. So that's really what we want to kind of like anchor in on, at least this week, if not also next week. Our continual growing in the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ is really what we're dealing with. And so we chose these two passages of scripture, both were written by Paul, were penned by Paul. And I know last time we did Bible study, we spent a lot of time in Colossians chapter 1, really dealing with our fulfillment in Christ, right? We were dealing with Christ being more than sufficient, because that's really what the theme of this book of Colossians is, right? And what Paul was dealing with, a lot of error in the church and Colossae and Laodicea, and just, you know, a lot of error, right? Error in the church. A lot of mixing of knowledge, trying to mix special knowledge from the Greeks with Christianity, right? The worship of angels, Gnosticism, trying to add all these things, like put all these things on top of quote unquote faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul was correcting them, and he was admonishing the church, and really just letting them know that, man, it's all centered, focused in on Christ. Christ is enough, right? And we, you know, talked a lot about two of those anchor verses in this chapter, whatever many, but, you know, personally for me, chapter 1, verse 19, he says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, right? Letting us know about the deity of Christ, the fullness of Christ, like, and how Christ was God's everything, right? To the fact it pleased him that all fullness be in Christ Jesus, right? That there was a great delegation of his supreme authority, right, in the person of Christ Jesus. And as a result, you know, we're fulfilled, right? Dealing and moving ahead to chapter 2, when he says that you know, Christ is the fullness, right, of the Godhead bodily. Somewhere in chapter 2, I think it's verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, right? Again, speaking to the fullness, the deity of Christ, speaking to the absolute and supreme sufficiency of Christ Jesus, because like when we know that he's enough, when we know what we have in Christ, when we truly know what we have in Christ, guess what, y'all? We don't have to look no further for anything else to satisfy us or to fulfill us, right? Right? Or to complete us, because we have it all in Christ Jesus. But guess what, y'all? In order to for us as believers to get to that place, there has to be an absolute, we have to have our minds have to be completely made up around our pursuit of him, right? There has to be a pursuit of Christ Jesus. Listen, because just the mere fact of the privilege of who he is and how he wants to reveal himself even to us, right? And to get into, you know, we have this saying, right? To know him or to know them, to know him is to love him, right? And that's the thing. Who would not want to know this Christ? And my whole point, and the whole point around this Bible study is like just the awareness of the great privilege that we have to be fellowship with Christ, right? With God through Jesus Christ. It's the greatest relationship we'll ever have, right? You know, if we were, you know, to speak carnally, it's like he's the most famous person we'll ever know. Day in a time where people are looking like to figures in society, right? We try and connect with characters and people through television and through the media, and right, God forbid you get an opportunity to meet somebody. What's the first thing we try and do when we meet somebody famous? First thing we want to do is grab a piece of paper, a picture, and we don't even know them, and they don't even know us, but we got them right up to my dear friend, Marlon, with gratitude from whomever. First time you ever met them, only time you ever going to meet them, man, and we want the autograph of some, but we have the privilege of intimately knowing, right? Intimately knowing the greatest of all, the Most High, the Holy One, right? God, through Christ Jesus, we have this supreme honor and privilege of knowing Jesus Christ. And that's the thing, y'all. And what happens oftentimes in religion, right, is we don't see the relational aspect of the salvation, right? And this is what kind of we were sharing with the young adults in part of what we were sharing with the young adults in Sunday school on Sunday morning. Like, it's this thing is so relational. It's relational. And Pastor Wright talks a lot about our salvation, and Minister Tolbert talk a lot about, you know, this thing is so personal, right? And we talk about that the personal aspect of our salvation is that how God desires us, right? And how he's in touch with who we are. He knows us intimately, right? The Bible says that what he's numbered the hairs on our head. And I always found that particular passage of scripture so amazing, because there's a reason why he states it that way. And he says, he didn't say he counted the numbers on our hair, right? He said that he numbered the hairs on our hair, which means there's an identification, right? It speaks to the intimate knowledge and familiarity that God has with every single individual that he's created, to the point where he's numbered the hair. There's a difference between me identifying an object and counting it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a difference between counting an object and the difference between numbering an object. It means I've identified it. It means that if I've got 5 million hair follicles in my head, let's make pretend, right? And one were to fall off, that means God himself would be able to call that hair out. That's the 1,375,022nd hair that fell off his head of hairs, right? Yeah. That's how intimately familiar he is with us. That's the privilege that we have as being his children. There's nothing that he does not know about us, right? There's nothing about us that he's not intimately familiar and in touch with. He knows us. That's how much he loves us. That's the great care that he took. Even when he talks about we're fearfully and wonderfully made, right? That's the great care that he took. Even in creating us, he's called us out especially, right? And that's how amazing and breathtaking and captivating the love of Christ is for his children, that not just as a group of people or a faction or a fellowship of people, but individually, every single person that he's ever made, the grand design, right, of his children, but even greater than that, the great love that he has for every single one of his children. It's amazing, and it's unbelievable, and it's indescribable and incomprehensible, even that love in the natural mind. And that's why Paul, and we quoted it even in the prayer earlier, right? Ephesians 3 and 17, right? His prayer was that we would know that love, right? That we would be able to comprehend with all the saints the great dimensions of that love, the breadth, the depth, the width, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes our natural ability to ever be able to understand, but to be able to know that love. That's what they're talking about. That's what Pastor Wright, Minister Tolbert are talking about when we're talking about personal. It's so personal because we have a personal God. Listen, he's not a corporate God. He's not a God that wants to, don't get me wrong, he does, and he can, and he will love us corporately. But guess what, y'all? He's called us out. Every single one of us as individuals, he's called us out. He's called us unto himself to experience an intimate, personal relationship with him. So I start out by talking about how personal it is that we might know this, that we might have this intimate one-on-one relationship, but it's even greater than that. The personalness is about us seeking the character of Christ, the revelation of who he is, even through the testimony of scripture, right? To not see it as scripture, but in everything we do in this salvation walk, to look for Christ Jesus. In all of our reading, right? In all of our pursuit to get understanding, it's more than just getting understanding and knowledge in the scripture, but it's really about seeking the face of Christ. It's all about getting to know this Christ. That's what this salvation walk is all about. And what we were sharing with the young adults on Sunday, as we were looking at that Galatians chapter 5, 16 through, I forget where it went, like 16 through 21, where, you know, whatever that passage, the passage of scripture was in, you know, we were dealing with freedom, right? We were dealing with our freedom, right? Our freedom, the fruit of freedom, right? And how Paul was dealing with, he started out, even in that passage, talking about how we must walk in the Spirit, that we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? And that walking in Spirit is about what we're dealing with now. It's about walking in, this is a fellowship more than anything else, right? And how he talked about in verse, What were you talking about? He talked about where we're free from the law. There it is, verse 18, he said, but if ye be led of the Spirit, or be governed by the Spirit, or have, meaning we've got fellowship, right? In the Spirit, right? Ye are not under the law, right? Because, the law, and I thank God for when we were praying through the Romans, and how, both Pastor Wright and Minister Tober were, pointed out, sometimes we have this negative, there's a negative connotation, we deal with the law, but the law is good, right? The law is good. The law is actually holy. The law just could not save us, right? And so even in Paul dealing with, we're not under the law, right? The law's purpose is to point out our need for a relationship. The law's purpose is to point out our need for salvation through Christ Jesus, to point out the way to righteousness, right? Christ as our righteousness, that is of no righteousness of our own, and that our own righteousness is as of a filthy rag, but it's Christ Jesus. So the law, we're not under the law, right? But we're under grace. And as a result of grace, we have fellowship through the Spirit. So we walk by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, or we walk in fellowship. We walk in fellowship. That's that it represents our fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And what happens is, and metaphorically, right, even in what Paul was dealing with in with the law, right, throughout most of the epistles, letting the Jews know that we're not saved by the law, right? Right? And if the law is your master, then you'll serve the law, right? But it's the Spirit of Christ that sets us free. But what happens is many times we're in a form of bondage in trying to keep certain laws and traditions, right? And things of that sort, right? And it's not about that. And what we were sharing with them, listen, we as believers so oftentimes get caught up in the do's and the don'ts of salvation, where my focus becomes, I've got to do this better, or oh man, I'm condemning myself because I did this or I thought that, right? Mm. Right? And that's not the point of salvation at all. That should not even be our focus, because the fact of the matter is, in our own strength, we're unable to live the Christian life. We don't have, there's nothing in us outside of the life of Christ flourishing in us that equips us or qualifies us to be able to successfully live the Christian life. And many Christians in church are messed up because they're too busy trying to live on their own. And what Paul's letting us know, right, is it's no different than the Jews trying to abide by the law. Our focus ought not be on how we live. And I know somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying just that. That ought not be your focus. Our focus ought to be Christ. We have no business trying, and I tell this all the time to the Love Fellowship class, if you're trying, you're failing. As long as you're trying, you're failing, because you can't try. It's not about trying to do anything. God has called us to submit and surrender. And you know how we do that? You don't even try to submit and surrender. What we do is we get our hearts focused on Christ Jesus, and we let him do the rest. Then your life is no longer about do's and don'ts, failing and falling, and all of this other stuff. No, because if we focus on Christ Jesus, then the covenant promise that he made us will stand and hold true. When he tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know what that kingdom represents? That kingdom represents our kingdom, our position in this relationship. That's our subjection, right? In the kingdom, where there's a king and there's subject. my role and my identity in the kingdom of God is as a validated child living in subjection to the king. Because in every kingdom, there's a king and there are subjects. The blessed hope and assurance that we have in this kingdom is that we serve the loving king. He's the king that loves us, listen, more than he loved his own life, to the point that he gave it up for us, that we might have fellowship. That's his grand desire. That was his great desire, fellowship. And what happens is we negate that when we try to live this Christian life, or when we try to make it happen. And we hear Minister Tolbert say it all the time: I can't pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I've got to submit. I've got to surrender. I've got to take my rightful position in place. Listen, through submission and surrender, we take our rightful place in the kingdom. And that is as a beloved child of the Most High God. And that's the thing. This was his great desire for us. Fellowship. 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 And we talk about salvation, right? And I'm so glad to be saved, y'all. I say it all the time. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for what he did on the cross. I thank God that the cross dealt with my sin and my sin nature. I thank God. But what we have to understand is that that's the means. That's not the end. Salvation was not the end. Salvation, the cross was the means to an end. The means was the cross. The end was fellowship. And what happens is we can go through this Christian walk. Not really. We can go through a religious experience and spend a lifetime going to church, coming, listening to sermons, going out, praying, right? Studying. In trying to live and trying to be the best person that we can be, and fall drastically short of what God wants for us, because we've missed the point that what God's great desire is us. What he wants is us. God is not interested in hear me the right way, because I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way and try to use this as an excuse to go do anything they want to do. But God is not interested in how you behave. God is interested. God's great desire is that we have tunnel vision for him. You know why? Because if we have tunnel vision for him and we get lost in him and this whole salvation serves its purpose, we won't even have to worry about how we behave. You know why? Because it won't be us living. It'll be him. And that's the thing. Right. And that's the point. That's one of the points. That's not the main point, but that's the point I want to get across right now. Listen, stop focusing on what you're doing and not doing. Focus on Christ. Our focus has to be Christ. If we fall in love with this Christ, like truly and truly recognize, right, him for who he is and how wonderfully holy and amazing this God is, right? We won't have time to worry about nothing else. And guess what, y'all? That's his goal for us. That's his goal for us, to get lost in him. Because when I get lost in him, the first thing happens is I freely submit and surrender who I am so that he can take residence and take place. And then guess what happens? He starts living. Then the last thing I got to worry about is how I'm living, what I'm saying, how I'm responding, how I'm reacting to what somebody said, being worried about how somebody sees me, being worried about what this or that, because he's living. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. The key and the crux of that Galatians 2 and 20, yet not I, but Christ. That's his desire. that he's living and that we're not living. And when he's living, I ain't got to worry about it. And that's why Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Christ as my life. And all these things will be, he'll take care of everything else. Then I don't have to worry. Guess what? Because he's better at it than I am. Guess what, y'all? He can raise my family and lead my family so much better than I can. He can love my wife so much better than I can. Guess what, y'all? He can witness on my job so much better than I can. And guess what, y'all? He sure enough can love my enemies and your enemies and our enemies so much better than we can. So I thank God for the message on Sunday and Minister Tolbert just dealing with forgiveness, right? Right? And that whole, this whole reconciliation, right? And it's Christ, that's not our, that's the work of Christ. That work starts in us and it manifests, his life manifests through us, finishes the work. Man, and he can forgive. And just like Minister Tolbert said, because he already did it when he went to the cross. And I heard Pastor Dr. Stanley, Charles Stanley say one time, how in the world can we hold something against somebody that Christ already went to the cross and paid for? Can't do it. We can't do it. And when we don't forgive, we cancel out the great week. That's the thing. And that's why it's so important. That's why 1 John chapters 4 and 5 are so important when he talks about the importance of loving one another. Because when we can't get along, when we don't get along and we don't love one another and we can't forgive one another, we cancel out our own grace. Because we can't claim a grace that propitiated our sins and hold transgression against somebody else. It's actually impossible to do so. And that's why. And so what we do is we negate our own forgiveness when we can't come to a place of forgiveness for other people, as hard as it is. But that's my whole point. That's why we've got to be replaced. That's why it's got to be Christ in us, through us, taking residency, replacing us, living instead of us, because he's really the only one who can truly forgive. Already done it. That's why it's the finished work. That's why it's the finished work of the cross. It's because it's what he's already done. It's just got to become our living experience, but we'll never get there. We'll never get there absent of truly getting to know this God. That's got to be our pursuit. That our heart's desire more than any other thing has got to be wanting to know, seeking to know, pursuing to know Christ Jesus. That's it. That's our aim. That's our aim. Listen, and I thank God. Right. And we can get in the word and we can read it from cover to cover. Right. And we can memorize scriptures. Right. Right. And then we can take it and we can try to apply it to our heart. But I'm telling you, what God wants from us, even in our studying and our meditation, is to seek the face of Christ. It's to seek. And that's what I'm talking about. When we say it's personal, it's finding the person of, it's identifying and communing with the person of Christ Jesus in our study time, in our prayer time, in our meditation time. It's not a focus on things. It's a focus on Christ. And guess what? No matter where we are in this text, no matter where we are in this Bible, Christ is revealed. Listen, he's not just revealed in a chapter or a book or a group of epistles or a book or a chapter or a verse. Listen, I'm telling you right now, in every single word of this book, he's revealed because it's him. He is the word. David, tell us, right? He's talking about Christ, talking about the word. He said, he was prophesying of Christ. He said, I come in the volume of the book. Every single bit of it from front to end, it's written, it's him. It's not written about him. It is him. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then later on in that text, we talk about it all the time. What did he say about the word? What did the word do? Became the word before he was Christ in the flesh. He was the word that was with God from the very beginning. The word. And so how do we get to know this Christ? By way of the word. It's by way of the word. We can't talk about all this wonderful fellowship, right? What a fellowship. What a joy, right? We talk about this fellowship. We sing about this fellowship, right? And if, but I'm telling you right now, if we're not in the word, there is no fellowship. You know, and many people in church are acquainted with God, but they don't know him. You know why? Because the word of God is on the shelf. And we've got to get the word off the shelf and get the word of God in our hearts to know him, to know him. And guess what, y'all? He's the answer. He is the answer. He's the answer. Like all the confusion and calamity and all these things that are going on in this world today and in our society today, right? Mm-hmm. But like ultimately, right, our true healing, our true, like if we're really going to peace and have true peace, then it's only going to come by one way, and that's by people knowing the love of Christ. We got to know the love of Christ, grow in that love. And that's the thing. And when Paul talked about in that Ephesians 3, when he talked about that we may comprehend with all the saints, right, the breadth, the length, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's not a one-time thing, right? This thing is, there's no limit to the love of Christ, right? When you get to a place where you're just busting wide open at the revelation and the knowledge of the love of Christ, right? He's got another level to be able to show every single one of us. And that's why, me and Pastor Ray were having a conversation the other day, and, you know, it was just sharing that it's to know that love. That's our deliverance. Like, that's really our deliverance from the things of this world, from the things that we go through in this world, from the things that we see happening in the news, and, you know, and all this stuff that's going on that we look at, the, you know, whether we're being persecuted on our jobs or we're in the community or in the world or wherever, or we're worried about loved ones and things that are happening, or the stuff that's happening, the war in Ukraine and with Russia and Afghanistan and Israel and all this and all these things that are happening. Listen, our true deliverance is the knowledge to know the love of Christ. And that's why Paul told him in Romans 5. What did he tell us? He said, even so in tribulation, we can rejoice in tribulation. Listen, and a lot of times we read this stuff and we take it for granted, but we got to listen. And that's why we've got to pursue Christ in this word, right? To truly know and for that to truly have an indelible impact in our hearts to know what he's saying. He said, we can rejoice in tribulation. He said, because tribulation works patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope or assurance. And that assurance and that hope will never disappoint us. Hope won't make us ashamed, or it'll never disappoint us. And he tells us why in the very next thing. Why? He says, because the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts. In other words, our hearts have been broken to the love of Christ. When our hearts are broken, that's the antidote. That's the remedy. That's the balm. That is our deliverance from what we see, hear, and feel as a result of the stuff that we go through in this world. Man, it's to know the love of Christ. But listen, it's through a pursuit. It's through a pursuit of Christ himself, right? It's not something we pursue outside of him. That's my point, right? Everything that we need is in Christ Jesus, right? But what happens is oftentimes we pursue these things, the things that we think we need, right? By other means. And we try to go around Christ to achieve, right? We want to go around Christ to get peace. We want to go around Christ to get belonging and acceptance because we seek it in other people. We want to go around Christ. We want to seek provision through other means except Christ Jesus, right? We want to seek security and peace of mind through other means outside of Christ. No, everything that we'll ever need is found. We must go through this relational, this intimate, personal relationship with Christ. It's the best thing. It's the best thing we'll ever have. It's the best thing that we'll ever have. And that's why Paul is admonishing them and us, even through this text, that his prayer, right, for this cause in verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled. We might be filled, right? Or that, right? We might be filled, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, listen, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is Paul's prayer, right? This is Paul's great desire for us, for the church in Colossae and Laodicea. Right. And for us today, all believers today, that we will grow in the knowledge of who he is, that we might continually pursue. Right. This a growing relationship. We ought not get satisfied. Right. In where we are in Christ Jesus. And when I say that, and oftentimes we say that. Right. And we talk about it's a focus on where we are, our condition, right? It's a focus on how much I'm praying or how much I'm studying or how much I'm meditating or how much, or, you know, how many times I've been to the church house or no. This focus is singular. It's a focus on knowing this Christ, and everything else takes care of itself. When I know who this Christ is, right, and I get in the face of God, right, and I'm validated in the knowledge of who he is and validated in my own identity in him, guess what? Man, I ain't got to worry about none of that stuff. I'll be the best church member there ever was. And then I won't have to worry about whether or not Pastor Wright is preaching to my stuff. Because I'll be so, we'll have laser focused on Christ, because he's taking care of business in me. He's dealing with me, and he's molding and he's shaping, he's replacing me. And guess what? He's living this life instead of me. That's his great desire, that we come to know this God, that we come to know this Christ. He says, strengthen with all might in verse 11, according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, right? Because that's where our strength comes from. It comes from him. It's a glorious power because he's glorifying us with his presence. It's the life of Christ in us, right? And he is our strength. And that's why the writer could say, I can do all things, what? Through Christ who strengthens me. He's not strengthening me from over yonder there. He's not throwing down strength from heaven saying, hey, get, you know, you be strong. Let me, no, it's through his life in us. It's his life. That's where he's the source. He's our power. He's our strength. And that's why Paul could say, now unto him who was able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. How? According to what? the power that worketh in us. That's Christ. That's Christ's life in us. And you know how that life is cultivated? Through our continual pursuit of him. Through this fellowship. Listen, this is what salvation is all about. Man, we discover all the fruits, the blessing, the benefits, the fulfillment of salvation through our pursuit of an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the key. That's the key. That's why Paul focuses so much on righteousness through faith. Because his great desire that we recognize that it's Christ's life. It started with him replacing us on the cross and him continuing to replace us even in this life. It's Christ's life. It's our pursuit of him. He's our strength. Then he says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And we talked about that a little bit earlier already, just really knowing our position. When he talks about the kingdom, it's all about our position. And that was, you know, even the comment earlier about we tend to focus on our condition. Right. And I know Pastor Wright many years ago, I think I got a CD somewhere when he was dealing with position versus condition. Right. And that's the thing. Right. Our focus is not our condition, because conditions change. Right. But really, it's our position, and our position in the kingdom is Christ's life in us. It's his righteousness. It's him in our place. That's our position. And so even in what we were dealing with a couple of weeks ago, you know, living in the kingdom of his dear son being manifest in the kingdom of this world is all about our pursuit of Christ. It's all about our pursuit. We've got to be a people who are diligent. And Paul, you know, in Hebrews, right, 11, we talk about faith dealing with, you know, the blessing of our diligent pursuit of Christ, right? He says in Hebrews 11 and 6, he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. In other words, we must know. That belief really must, it's an assurance. It's a knowing that results in our knowing him, that results in a continual pursuit of knowing God, of a relationship, of fellowship, and intimacy. And that's why he can follow that up by saying, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. In other words, he's saying it's through our diligent pursuit and seeking of Christ Jesus. The reward he's referring to is Christ's life, is Christ in us. As we seek him and we find him and he's revealed all the more to us, but really in us, that's the glory of God being magnified and manifest in our life to even be able to uncover and to really to live and walk in the covenant blessings of Christ, of God, through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him, because as we seek him, right, we know him. As we know him, right, it's less of us and more of him, because now we're depending on him even all the more. And as we depend on him all the more, he's showing himself. He's proving himself to be faithful to every single one of his promises and to the very character of who he is. And I'm telling you right now, man, the more we pursue him and the more we get to know him, the more he reveals himself, the more amazed I am. I sit in wonder, in absolute wonder of this God. And then you know what happens? And then you start to reflect and you're like, man, the more I get to know who you are It's like, what in the world? What, like, what is this? What is this? What is this? What is this enamorment with me? Like, what is it about me that would even have you to love me this much? And that's part of the blessing of our continued pursuit of Christ, of God through Jesus Christ, that he continues to reveal. It's like the grace of God is just, the dial is turned up as to the magnitude of the grace of God and the love by which he's loved us. It's crazy. And all it endears us to him all the more. It endears us to him. It's got to be, listen, y'all, it's got to be more than religion. It's got to be more than, oh, well, you know, I come to church and I'm faithful and I'm a faithful tither and I'm singing on choirs. And man, you know, these preachers, man, you know, they might step on my toes sometimes, but man, I thank God for the word, right? And all this other stuff. And we're blessed by the word. Those are beautiful things, but it's more than that, y'all. It's about Christ. We've got to see him. We've got to see him spiritually. He wants to, this thing is relational. It's relational. This salvation walk is so, it's about you and Christ. It ain't about nobody else. Guess what? Once we get him, he'll make it about everybody else, but he's taking care of all that. But man, your focus, my focus, our focus is Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's him. It's him. And it's nothing else. And that's the thing. And I don't know who was talking about. I heard somebody, I think it was somebody that was talking about, might have been Minister Tolbert. I don't know who it is. Man, listen, if there's ever a time, right, as people, for us to be selfish about something, man, it's about this relationship that we have. Man, that's the one thing that we can be selfish about our pursuit for knowing Christ. You know why? Because in that pursuit, right, he manifests himself, right? And the selflessness of Christ is manifest through our selfish pursuit of him, if that even makes sense. The selflessness of Christ and his capacity to bless those around you, your family, your children, your coworkers, your friends, your loved one, comes through a selfish pursuit of him. I ought to be selfish. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm telling you, there's a selfishness in this relationship, in my relationship, right? Because through that, the life of Christ is manifest in the selflessness of Christ, and the selfless nature of Christ will be manifest to bless other people far better than you and I can do on our own. That's the beauty. That's the beauty and the blessing of this intimate pursuit of Christ Jesus. We got to be selfish about it. Now, don't use that, you know, because we like to turn words and stuff. Don't use that as an excuse to walk around being selfish with other people. What I'm saying is we ought to have tunnel vision for Christ. It ought to be all about him. And he makes it. He'll make it about everybody else. That's his job. That's what he does. Man, we'll be such a better version of ourselves because it's not us, it's him. He's able to do it. Everybody will see. People will see a difference. People will see it. Listen, people, there'll be an indelible impression made on us and on the lives of other people when we see Christ in that way. We got to have tunnel vision for him. We've got to have tunnel vision for him. And he says, that verse 15, he said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, right? It's that's the revelation of Christ Jesus, right? The revelation of God through Christ Jesus. We want to know what the deity, the love, right? The authority, right? We want to know what God looks like. It's all in Christ. And listen, and we have the best thing going for us in this fellowship, in this relationship with Christ, with Christ, because we have him living on the inside of us. He's living in us. He's living in us, in our pursuit, in our seeking. What's happening is more of him is being manifested in and through our lives. And you'll look back. You'll look back over the course of your life, right? And you'll see just the fruits of what God has done in and through our lives. But you won't even realize how far he's brought you. And you shouldn't. You know why? Because our attention has been on him the entire time. Because our focus has been on him the entire time, because that's where it should be. We've got to get our hearts fixed and focused on him. He is and was God's everything, right? And he ought to be our everything. And I'm telling you, we'll see this world and everything that's happening in it today through such a different lens when we're pursuing Christ as our life. We'll see it. We'll look at it. We'll look at it in the hope and the promise, through the lens of the hope and promise that God has made to us. And y'all, we weren't praying through the revelations for no reason. We know how this thing ends. We know how it ends. We know what the outcome. We know what the outcome of this thing is. But we got to know it. We got to know it right here. We got to know it. And we know it through our pursuit of Christ, through his word. And that's why Paul could say, listen, he said, I count not to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, right? He said, I'm reaching forth to those things which are before me. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize for the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, Christ, there wasn't an object. It was Christ he was pursuing. It was Christ. There was no object. There was no thing. There was nothing that he was trying to apprehend of any particular thing or object. What he was seeking was Christ. And Christ has got to be our pursuit. He's got to be our pursuit. So that's it. Amen. 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 Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Father. We rejoice in your presence. God, you are so worthy. Lord God, we thank you for who you are, God, and there are no words even to begin to articulate and to be able to describe you and the wonder of your love and your thoughts and intention, even toward us, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you've manifested and you've shown us. You've done more than tell us, but you showed us, oh God, even through your son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on the cross. And Lord God, what he continues to even do, Lord God, as he sits at your side, Heavenly Father, even advocating for us. Lord God, we thank you, oh God, for the life of Christ. Lord God, not just that went on the cross, but the life of Christ that lives and dwells through your spirit in every single one of us, oh God. Lord God, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for this treasure. Lord God, you said it's a treasure in earthen vessels, oh God. Heavenly Father, and that the excellency of that power is all of you, oh God, and none of us. And we, Lord God, we pray right now, have your way, Lord God, that you will bring it out and bring it about. Heavenly Father, right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us, oh God. Give us tunnel vision for you. Lord God, give us a hunger and a thirst and a desire as you've revealed your love to us, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we would be all the more endeared toward you, oh God, and seeking you out. Heavenly Father, just to grow in the knowledge of who you are, oh God. And Lord God, by way of that, Lord God, you're revealing who we are. So have your way right now, Lord God. We pray that you would just bless every single person, every single household represented on this Zoom, on this line right now, even those who couldn't make it or join, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, the revelation of your life to us, oh God, the revelation of your love to us right now, and this amazing grace, oh God,
Lord God, we pray that you just reveal it to us, oh God, that we get completely and utterly lost in you, Lord God, that we can't see nothing else but you, oh God. Help us right now. Lord God, we need it in this world today. Oh God, Lord God, help us that we not look for a distraction, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we not look for an escape, but oh God, we just look for life in you. Lord God, that we just get lost in you. Told us, you said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh God, we thank you that you are that secret place. You are our dwelling place, oh God. So Lord God, help us right now, that we might get there and that we just might stay there and that we might grow there, oh God, even in the knowledge of who you are. So have your way right now. Heavenly Father, bless us, oh God, with the blessings that we stand in need of, oh God, any that are sick, those that are going through. Heavenly Father, those that are bereaved, we pray right now the revelation of your love will overwhelm and overshadow even all the things that we're faced with in this life, oh God. Have your way. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we pray. Amen. Amen.